Welcome to the Data Up Podcast. My name is Brian Ward, the creator and host of the Data Up Podcast. I am a coach, Marine Corps veteran, speaker, husband, and you guessed it, a dad. Are you ready to be inspired to be the best dad you can be for your family? This show will provide you with the tips, tools, and strategies to do just that. Are you a dad just going through the motions? Or are you looking to really elevate your dad game to the next level? Truth is, it is a blessing to be a dad. This is a responsibility we must take seriously. In the end, how do you want to be remembered? I hope you want to be remembered as a phenomenal dad. Your legacy starts in the home, not outside the home. If you're really ready to elevate your dad game, then make sure you bang that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. Now, let's get started. Dad up.
Welcome to another episode of Dad Up, everyone. Thank you guys very much for joining me. I'm really excited for the gentleman that I have on. He and I have been following each other a little bit on social media, but you might have heard him for all the local people, even national people that might be know the show, but you might have heard him on the radio a little bit. He's on the Heidi and Frank show, but my good friend, Mr. Johnny Ice has joined me. What's going on, brother?
Thanks for having me, Brian. I really appreciate it. This is awesome. I mean, I always watch the stuff you put out and I always think about the stuff that you're saying. And then I'm like, I really want to relate that to my life in some kind of way. Because of the inspiration that you give, fathers is, it's just on a whole nother level. And I really want to adapt a lot of that stuff. But then I get home and my kids are yelling and my wife's pissed off at me. And it's like, all right, maybe I'll try it tomorrow, Brian.
I get it, man. Well, cool. Well, thank you for saying that. And yes, hey, let me tell you something, man. You got young kids. I got two boys that are, my older son's 25, my younger son's 22. So I've been around the parenting block a little bit. And so yeah, you just hang in, man. You'll enjoy it. You'll get the hang of things. You'll start to ease into it, and everything will be okay.
I hear it gets better, but I also hear that I'm going to miss these days. So I don't know what to. I don't know what to believe,
dude. I'm telling you, man. I can remember dropping my boys off, and it seems like it was just yesterday. Dropping my boys off at their first day of high school.
Wow.
And my older son has graduated from college 3 years ago, and my younger son's a senior in college. So it seems like I just dropped them off at high school, and the time flies by, dude.
It does. Absolutely. I mean, the years are getting faster and faster, which scares the crap out of me. But still, I mean,
yeah,
I don't want to miss a moment of this. I try to take it all in as it's happening.
Cool. Well, let's do this for people who don't know who you are. Let's dive into a little bit of back history of Johnny and find out kind of how he grew up and obviously how you got into radio. Obviously, this is a dad podcast, so we want to know about your family as well.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Growing up, I had a mom and a dad, and everything seemed okay at that, growing up. And they were, my mom was always there, always supporting everything I wanted to do. She saw that there was an entertainment factor to me that I had when I was very young. I was doing magic for people. And that's kind of where I wanted to be an illusionist when I grew up. It was like, I wanted to be the next David Copperfield.
Dude, I have to interrupt you real fast.
Yeah.
You're saying you wanted to be I did too. I always tried to do card stuff.
Yeah.
But it's funny that you're saying this because after I'm done talking with you, I have another interview and the guy I'm interviewing is a magician. So
get out of here.
I'm not kidding.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to check that episode out. Right, definitely.
For sure. Anyways, go ahead.
But yeah, so I wanted to, I don't know. I just kind of wanted to do something in entertainment ever since I was really young. I really wanted to be like a child actor. I know that sounds crazy, but I wanted to be the Mott's apple juice kid.
Right.
Like I wanted to be that kid. And I admired every child actor there ever was in the 90s. And that was something I wanted to do. And then my parents got it was one of those old VHS-C cameras. It was a really small one with the small cassettes. And I used to go around filming stuff with me and my friends and doing these little movies. And then I wanted to be a director of some kind. And as I got a little bit older, I was like, I want to work in the movies. So I got a job at the movie theater. As soon as I turned 16, that was like my entertainment.
That's your in. That's your in right there.
My big in. And so that was fun. I mean, I had a blast working there, but that was, you know, a high school job, and I really needed to figure out what I was going to do with my life. And so when I graduated high school, my parents split up. They ended up splitting up. And I should backtrack and say my mom was always supportive, but my dad was always there supporting me as well. Although he worked, it was a 9-to-9 job. He was selling cars every single day, 9-to-9. I would go to school. He would drop us off, but then I wouldn't, you know, I'd be in bed or asleep by the time he got home at night.
Right.
So, and when it came to, you know, after school activities, he just couldn't be there because he was trying to support his family. I mean, he didn't have a college education. He had kind of got stuck in the car business because he needed to make some money to pay bills and stuff, mm-hmm. and ended up making a career out of it. I mean, he was in the business for 40 years. So he was really good at that. But as I was growing up, you know, the things that I didn't realize is that my dad liked to drink a lot. He was a big drinker. So at 9 o'clock, you know, everybody, he'd close up the car dealership and he'd go out and hang out with his buddies for a little bit. And then he'd stop by, grab the milk and come on home and then do it all over again. So my mom had a real big problem with a lot of his drinking habits. And so that didn't end up working out so well as they got older, and my mom didn't want this party lifestyle. She wanted, you know, something a little more stable and you're going to come home and we're going to be a family. But she stuck it out. God bless my mother. She held it in there for me and most of my sister. I have a younger sister who's 4 years younger, but eventually she just said, I can't do it anymore. And she ended up, her and my dad split up, but I was already on my way to college at that point. So when I got to college, I was taking television, radio, broadcasting classes to kind of develop, you know, what is a camera? How does a camera work? What's a microphone? How does the microphone work?
Right.
And editing and all the background stuff. And while I was there, I found out that we could do internships at a radio station and get college credit for it. And I was like, well, all right, sign me up. I'll do it. I don't really like radio, but I'm more of into the television side, but I'll do the radio. That's fine. And I got there, and the first night that I was interning with this radio station, I was doing promotions, and we were out at a nightclub and hanging up banners for the radio station and then basically partied all night long. And I go, you got to be kidding me. I'm getting college credit to go out and party and hang out with people. I'm doing this. So I did it for like two semesters and they loved me there. So they hired me on. I started, you know, working just promotions at that point. And then I met my best friend in the world, Jason Kamensky. His name was Casper. He was the night guy on the radio station. And so we would go out, me and him, and we'd party it up every single night and have a blast. And I was like, I want to make this my career. And so, so basically I became the stupid bit guy for him on the night show and did a little on-air stuff and then the promotion stuff. But then I realized as I, you know, 2 years into it, I got to really make some money at this. Like this is not cutting it. The part-time job that I was working. So I started doing sales for the radio station, kind of developing the marketing, the sales, mm-hmm. and how all that works. And I didn't like it at all, but I understood it. I don't like going out and selling stuff and trying to convince somebody to spend all of their marketing budget in something that who knows if it's going to work or not. And then all of a sudden they've tossed away their company's money into me, and then I'm responsible for them failing. I wasn't comfortable with it. So I was like, you know what? Maybe this radio thing isn't for me. And in 2008, I started that in 2003. I started interning in 2008. I ended up moving to Los Angeles from Rochester, New York, where I grew up, and I got into television, and then I was driving around getting people's coffee and dropping off videotapes to people. And I would listen to the radio at that point. And there was a radio station called KLSX, and it was a talk radio station. And it was the Frosty, Heidi, and Frank show, which was on that. It went Adam Carolla, and then it went Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, and then like Danny Bonaducci. And
bro, I've been listening to them that long.
Have you really?
I'm not joking.
Really? See, that's the thing. Like, they've been around since, I want to say, well, in LA since the 90s, late 90s, but then Frosty, Heidi, and Frank on KLSX in like early 2000s. So when I came out here, my cousin actually he goes, you got to listen to this radio show. And he introduced me like the first week I had moved out here. And I was like, oh, I like this. I'm enjoying it. And that's why I sat in my car and drove around. I had no problem driving around to places because I would just listen to talk radio and sit in my car and sit in LA traffic. And then that station fell apart and Frosty left the show. Heidi and Frank went and did their own thing in a garage, in Frank's garage. Mm-hmm. And they set up this whole little podcast studio. And that's when podcasting like was just starting to mm-hmm. come out. Like nobody had really known what podcasting was. And I would listen to them. They'd do a live version of it. And then they'd, you know, record it and then put it out as a podcast later. And I heard them one day say, hey, we're looking for interns to help us out. And I was like, you know what? I have radio experience. I did it all. I did the promotions. I did the on air. I did the sales. Let me see if I can help them out. And I got a hold of Frank and said, you know, I'd like to help you where I can. And ever since then, me and Frank just kind of clicked, and he has been the biggest mentor towards me. I look up to the guy. Like, he has taught me so much about the radio business that I just couldn't learn anywhere else. And he is taking care of me and my family, because if you're taking care of me, you're taking care of my family. So he is taking care of me. And now we've been on KLOS since 2012. We're coming up on 12 years now of doing morning radio. And I have a blast every single day because I'm going in and I'm hanging out with my friends. Yeah. And it's fun. And we get to joke around and tell dirty jokes, and
right.
And I couldn't ask for anything better. So
dude, that's cool. I did not realize that you had reached out to them because they needed an intern. I didn't know that's how you got the job. That's really, really cool. That's really,
yeah. Neat. Yeah. They were holding these intern interviews, is what they called them. Intern interviews right around the corner from where I was working at the time. And I went on my lunch break. I had a lunch break. I went over there. I said, I'm here. I showed up with my resume. I was, out of 30 people, I was the only one who had a resume. And that's when it, like, you know, that's when Frank saw the potential in me and said, hey, yeah, I'd like you to come and work for me. I think I might still have the voicemail saved
that's cool.
he had sent me, or that he had called me and said, hey, I want you to come and work for me.
Yeah,
so
I was a blessing. So I was a huge fan of them, the three of them. And then they were, you had Frosty, Heidi, and Frank,
yep.
Danny Bonaducci, and yep. also, you know, obviously Adam Carolla, but there was also Tom Likas. All those guys. And that was when I was just a really big fan of them. And then when they went off the air because the station shut down, I was bummed.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, I listened to Mark and Brian.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I had Mark on my show.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I think he just wrote a book that came out last, I think it was last year. And his publicist had reached out to me about having him on. And I said, let's do it. And
awesome.
So I had him on last year, but I was listening to some of the stories he was telling about Mark and Brian. But when they left, when they kind of retired, and I found out Frosty and Heidi and Frank were coming back, I was ecstatic. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
you have no idea. For those of you that don't know the show, just Google it and listen to it, because they're funny. They are like a family. They're funny. They also, you know, they're also serious, but it's just a really, really good show. And it's enjoyable. And especially for those of us in Southern California that are driving, sitting in traffic, you know, listening to them and cracking up the whole time.
Yeah.
It's great. So
Brian, I gotta give my son a hug. He just walked in the door.
Oh, so. Give him a hug, man.
He's stuck in
daddy
here.
Duty.
He's stuck in daddy here. Duty, he was little, over at his buddy's Johnny. House. Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
You still growing pot?
I got my headphone. He can't hear you, but
I know.
He's all sweaty and red. Did you have fun with your friend?
We got McDonald's park and we ate McDonald's.
Oh, cool. Oh, nice. Well, thanks, buddy. Thanks for stopping in. I love you.
That's awesome. I have to tell you a story about him.
Yeah.
I listened to one of the shows that, I'm telling you, but I'm telling people that are going to listen to this or watch this. One of the episodes that I remember, I think it was probably one of the first times I had heard you speak on the Hiding Freight, because you didn't really talk a whole lot in the very beginning.
No, I was all in the background.
Yeah. And so you started getting more onto the radio. And one of the things that you shared floored me, because I'm a big believer in spirits and ghosts and all that kind of stuff. And you had shared in your previous house that your son was drawing a picture, I believe, or coloring a picture and you asked him, who is that? And he said his name.
Yeah.
I think that's how the story went, because this is a long time ago. And you did some research on the house and found that the guy who died owned that house. His name was that name. Am I saying it about right?
Very, very, very close. Somebody had drawn on the table, and I had asked Johnny, what, that's my son's name, who drew on the table? And he said it was Jack drew on the table.
Okay.
And I said, Jack, who's Jack? And then these little things were happening. It's the house that I live in currently. Like, this
oh,
is,
you still,
like,
live there.
I still live there. Yeah. This, there's,
I thought
there's,
you guys
weird,
moved. Okay.
No. There's weird things that happen, like, all the time. I mean, I only really tell the stories around Halloween, because that's, like, I don't know. Yeah. It's spooky time. So I kind of, like, save up all the little stories that happen around the house. But so there was always this mention of Jack. And I told the story on the air. And at the time, one of our other producers, Sammy, was like, well, I'm going to do some research. She got on her computer and started researching who had owned the house. What are the names? And then we found out that there was a guy named Jacob, who was the father of the person who owned the house, who they were taking care of in the house. And in his obituary, they referred to him as Jack, because that's what he liked to go by. And it scared the hell out of me. And there's there's random things, but I don't, it's not one of those things where, like, I'm scared of it.
Right.
Like, if I hear something, I'm like, nah, it's Jack.
Right.
Or what, you know, and it doesn't scare me, because nothing bad has ever happened.
Right.
Like, if knives and stuff and dishes were being thrown all over the house, I would probably say, all right, maybe it's time to sell, get out of this place. But yeah, no, it's
That is a crazy story. When I heard that, I was just like, see, I knew there was ghosts.
Yes.
I knew there were spirits. I have a few of those stories myself, but we'll save those for another time, because I want to get into a couple things for you.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the clips that you posted, and like I said, he put some stuff on social media with his family and all that. But one of the clips that you recently posted that had caused me to really say, okay, it's time to have this guy on.
Yeah.
Because you did, because you guys are doing this diet thing on the show. By the way, I've lost 40 pounds in 3 months.
Hey, congratulations, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm on my own little deal. But anyways, you were doing a thing with your daughter where you guys were making a sandwich, and the affection that you had with her and the whole ordeal of making the food was just awesome. And it's those little moments. And I try to tell parents this all the time. So those little moments that you may not think are really that special, but when you sit back and really rethink it or relook at it, especially if you videotaped it like you did, watch that video and just watch the connection, the bond that you and your daughter have. That's where the deepness of parenting goes.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw. And I'm like, it is time to have this fool on.
Thank you. Well, yeah, she's four. So, and my daughter, Lucy, she's four. And, it was really, from babies until, you know, maybe toddlers, like they do some interesting stuff, but they're not exactly willing to learn about anything. But then they start to develop a personality at around like three, and you start to realize who are they're becoming and what some of their interests are. And then she turned four back in September, and she shows a love for being in the kitchen and helping out in any way possible. Whenever we're in the kitchen, it's how can I help? You know, what can I do? And actually, she's like that for everything. If I'm out fixing something in the driveway, she's right there with her tools, wanting to help me, which is totally me. It's she gets that from me. She doesn't get it from my wife at all. But she loves to help out. And so that video that I was doing, I didn't even think she wanted to be in it. And then she came over, pulled up her chair alongside of me. And then that's when it just kind of started. She was like, I want to help. And I said, all right, let's go. And we, it's weird because like that wouldn't have been a moment, but it became one because she had actually just wanted to do it.
Right.
And I was willing to say, okay, well, now we're learning. So now she's learning what tablespoons are and teaspoons and a cup of this. And so I feel like she's going to be in the kitchen baking or cooking.
Or maybe because an engineer, bro.
Honestly, I could see that happening as well. Yeah, because she's into taking things apart. And I actually have this, which I got to fix for her because the speaker doesn't work. It's her Barbie phone, and I just haven't gotten it together yet. But I'm in the process of fixing it, and she wants to come in, and she wants to learn how to fix a little speaker so that,
right,
you know. And it's just like those little moments happen, and I tried to embrace them rather than get out of here kind of a thing. That's kind of how my father was with me. It was like when something wanted to be like me showing, I get it done. And I noticed that from my grandfather as well towards my dad. Like it was, I got to handle. Get out of here. Go do something. Find something to do, you know. So I've taken kind of the opposite approach and saying, yeah, let's make this into something. Let's do it together. Let's figure this out.
Yeah. I think it's more of a, you know, when I do those or had those moments over the years with my boys, I mean, now it's just like, you know, I had my son, he sent me a message today, said, hey, I'm going to send you my, he works for a company, but he's kind of updating his resume and all that. And he's like, hey, can you just take a look at this resume? Those kind of things are what I do now. You know, when they ask me advice on different, you know, adult decisions, you know, those are the kinds of things that I help out with now, give them guidance on. But when they were growing up, it was the same way. You know, I'd be out, you know, maybe changing the headlight on the car, and one of my boys would come out and go, what are you doing? I'll go, hey, let me show you. And I'd show them, and then they're in there doing it. And then, you know, my younger son does that now himself because he watched me and learned how to do it with me. It's those little moments that, again, that was just me teaching him a life lesson or life skill.
Yeah.
But that was a bonding moment too. And I can't forget that as a dad. I can't forget that.
Exactly.
So that's what it was with you and your daughter. And it's, yes, it's not about the sandwich you were making. It was about the bond that you were building with her and that relationship growing just through that connection, how simple that connection is. So.
Yeah. Cause you know, I mean, when you have your kids involved in anything that's helping you out, you know, it's instantly going to take you twice as long to do. Right. But it's like I could get this done in 10 minutes or it could take me 20 minutes.
Right.
How do I want to go about this? But those 20 minutes are, you know, it's something that, you know, now she's going to be able to look back on that when I'm long gone and be like, I remember. And that was very special. And
when she goes to college, my younger son, his first year in college, he said, Dad, I don't know how to do it, but I want to build a beer pong table.
Yeah.
And I said, what? Like, I don't drink. So I don't drink alcohol, but you know, they're college kids. Right. So I said, why don't you, for $150, you can buy one, you know, just buy one. And he's like, I don't want to, I want to build it, but I don't know how to do it. I was like, all right. So we're off to Home Depot. We go, buying wood. I'm teaching him how to cut, you know, with a saw and all that stuff. And yeah, he and I worked on that thing. And I told him like specifically, like, here's what you need to do here, here, and here, and here. And then I let him do it and just watched him do it and kind of monitored. And yeah. And then he built the beer pong table and then never used it.
No, I'll take it off your hands.
Yeah.
I need one.
But it was really cool to watch him kind of engage in that and want to do that. And he and I got to, you know, hang out and do that together. It was just really cool. But anyways, that's awesome. Now, what about your son though, Johnny? I mean, for those of you, his son that was just here, little Johnny, when I said Johnny, how's pot growing? Growing pot thing. That's a joke. It's on the show. It's not growing something. It's him growing money. And it's a money giveaway that they used to do on the show. And they called it Johnny's Growing Pot because it was a question that come out. And then if you got it wrong, his son would razz you with some sarcastic comment. So anyways, that's what it was about. But how
was
your...
It was a complete radio bit.
Absolutely.
Called Little Johnny's Growing Pot. Yeah. We'd ask a trivia question. He didn't get it right. Money would grow. So it was a growing pot. So, but it's funny because a lot of people, they'll ask me about it because they've heard the bit. So it's always, when they're talking about it in front of somebody else, they have to explain the whole thing.
Right. That's like, it's not like that. Cause I'm like, I have a parenting podcast and I'm talking about growing pot. It's not like that.
Radio bits, entertainment.
So clearly you have a phenomenal relationship with your son. And you know, let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, now you talked about your dad kind of, you know, he was busy. He worked a 12-hour-a-day, 14-hour-a-day job. You hardly got to see him. And when you did see him, it was like he was tired, exhausted. And, you know, it was kind of kind of the norm. That was how I grew up, too. So now you have this son that you're trying to raise to be a good man. And you're trying to spend as much time with him as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that relationship a little bit. How do you guys bond? What kind of things are you guys doing together to build that relationship?
First of all, like working in morning radio, I leave before everybody gets up in the morning. I'm the first one out the door, but I also get home very early. So I'm able to get back to my house before his school ends. So one of the things that I love doing is picking him up from school because it's just, that's when he's the happiest. He's not happy when he's going to school.
Right.
He's happy when he's done with school. But then it's, you know, coming home and do you have homework to do? Right. What do you have to do? Like, what are you learning in school? We have to get the homework done before we have fun. Then it's we love playing video games together. We're really hooked on the Lego games that are out there.
Wait, pause.
Yeah.
Lego games on video. I don't even know this.
You don't know Lego video games?
So listen, I got to tell you a little sidebar about 3 months ago. I've never played with Legos in my life, Johnny. About 3 months ago, I started building Legos.
Yeah.
And I have like insanely addicted. Like my wife's like, you got to stop spending money on these Legos because they're expensive. Yeah. I have like six that are in my office that are all, and I have two more that are on the dining room table that I'm building. And I have another one that's here off to the side that I haven't even opened yet.
Yeah.
I'm literally addicted to it. And I didn't know they had video games too.
Yeah, Legos are like the new puzzles, I guess. Right. Legos have been around for years, but it's the puzzles that you can kind of play with and, you know, figure out. Or if you don't like what you built, you could build something else. Like, that's the beauty of I love Legos. And I got him into the Lego video games are just like regular, you know, video games, but everything is Lego version. So that's cool. Your Avengers, your Star Wars, it's all the Lego games and we love playing them because they're simple. They're, you know, very easy to do, but we also love building Legos too. And Legos is honestly, parents out there, like, it's a good investment because I think they've grown more in value through the years than actual stocks and gold. And like, if you're dumping your money into that, Legos is actually something that hold their value.
They do
hold
their value.
If you can keep all the pieces.
Yeah.
But I'm actually a giant kid. I'm just a giant kid. So like collecting toys and action figures is something that we do all the time. Like we play with the action figure. Here, I'll show you a little bit of my office. This is my office.
Oh, that's cool. Right, that's killer, man.
Yeah. So I'm not shy to the Legos and the toys, and there's Britney Spears back there.
Yeah, you're idol.
Yeah, I'm not. I love toys, and that's something that, you know, we can do together. Is we can, you know, I can.
That's cool.
I can,
and you can sit there and chit chat, and yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then sports is another big thing. I mean, my son loves football, and
did
we
you
tried
play
everything.
Sports when you were a kid?
I played baseball, little league baseball. But then I'm also golf. As I got older, it was my grandfather loved golf. My entire dad's side of the family were big golf addicts. They used to have a putting green in the backyard.
Dude, we need to go golfing sometime then, man.
Oh, absolutely. I'm ready to go. I got all my golfing stuff on the other side here. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, that's cool. So sports, he's into football right now. He was not a much of a baseball kid.
It's a little slow for him. Kids these days, they really, you know, it's the attention spans.
So that was my older son. He played baseball. We were a big baseball family. I coached all their sports, all their teams from the ages of four all the way up through high school. I coached them. And my older son got to about 10 playing baseball, and he came to me and he's like, "Dad, I need to talk to you." And I was like, "Okay." He's like, "I don't want you to be mad." I'm like, "Mad? What? Okay. What's going on?" And he goes, "I don't want to play baseball anymore."
Yeah.
And I went, okay, why? Is it something with the team? He's like, "No, it's boring to me. I'm just not into it." And I go, "Okay." Then I go, "You have to do something." He goes, no, I just want to play basketball." That's what they were into, basketball.
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay." He goes, "You're not mad." I'm like, "No, I'm not making you play baseball. If you don't want to play, you don't want to play." However, we were halfway through the season. I said, "However, you have to finish the season. We don't quit in the middle of this." He's like, no, I get that. I know that. I'll finish the season." I said, "Okay." He hasn't picked up a bat since. He was 10 years old.
Really? Wow.
He just does not like it. Now, they played basketball. My younger son he played baseball in high school. He loves baseball. He's a big Red Sox fan. He's a diehard Red Sox fan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But, but he, wait, are you a Yankees fan?
I grew up a Yankees fan.
You're a big Pittsburgh fan, though.
Yeah, not so much Steelers. The Pirates, but Steelers. The Steelers. Yeah. Right here.
Yeah, but my younger son.
I wanted to ask you about the coaching thing because I did coach Johnny's first flag football team, and it was something I'd never done before, and none of the kids had done before, so I felt very okay with doing that,
right?
Because nobody had any idea of what was going on. And then I was like, you know what, I think I want to do this again. And the next year, but they had already filled up all the coaches, so I didn't have an opportunity to coach. But I looked at it from two different points of view. One is, my kid gonna listen to me when I'm telling him what to do? He barely listens to me at home.
Right.
Is he going to listen to me when he's out there in front of the other kids, or is he going to give me a hard time?
Right.
Does that happen throughout the years?
So there's a hard line that I drew with my boys that I asked them. I always ask them, "Do you want me to coach your team?"
Yeah. And
up until they got to high school, my older son was, "I'm fine. Yeah. If you want to coach, coach. Great. If you want me to coach, I want to coach. But here's the rule. When we're on the field or we're on the court, I am not your dad.
Yeah.
I'm a coach.
Yeah.
So you don't refer to me as dad. You don't call me dad. If I pull you out or make you sit for whatever reason, there's no attitude. You have to treat me like a coach." So that was the rule that I established with them. When they got into high school, my older son did not want me to coach anymore. He wanted me to back away. And I said, was fine with that. My younger son wanted me to still coach. So I coached him through high school all the way up until he graduated. I actually continued coaching even after he graduated, but I retired 2 years ago. So anyways, it was even in high school, my younger son, it was like when he had something to ask me, or we were going over a play or something in basketball, and he wanted to kind of ask me a question about it. It was, he, you know, raise his hand. "Hey, coach." He always referred to me as coach, period.
Good.
If I had a problem with him and it got to a parent son problem, then I would always refer him to the other coach.
Gotcha.
So I would say, "Hey, you need to go talk to Coach Ron. You need to go talk to Coach Lamar."
That's smart.
because I didn't want to get in the middle and turn it into a father-son yep. issue. So, you know, there was a couple things
that we
have.
Write this down.
Yeah. So that just has to be a hard line that you establish with Johnny. Just say, hey, listen, I want to coach your team. If you want me to coach, I would love to coach your team, but there's going to be rules. And those rules are going to be in place while you're on the field. I'm your coach. I'm not your dad. I'm not here to be your dad.
That was one of the toughest things to deal with is trying to be an authority in two different ways and trying to split the authority.
So I'll tell you another one.
Am I playing dad or coach?
I'll tell you another one. I had a really hard time. My younger son was, he was a sophomore in high school and he was really upset about the team. We were just starting the season. They were doing tryouts and, you know, going through tryouts and all that stuff. And we get in the car, we're heading home and he's like, dad, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? When I get in the car, I'm back to the dad hat's back on. Right? Yep. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, I don't think I'm going to make the varsity team. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't think I'm going to make the varsity team. And I go, okay, well, all I can tell you from my coach's perspective, all I can tell you is showing up. I said, I'll make sure you're there early because that'll help you out. You're going to stay a little longer because that'll help you out. It shows the coaches that you're putting in the work. And you just work hard at practice. Whatever mm-hmm. the best kid at practice is doing, do it better or do it harder. Go harder than him. So you have to do your best. And if you don't make it, like if you don't, like this one kid that he just couldn't keep up with or couldn't beat or was just having a hard time playing against, you know what? Even if you fail, but you're giving 100% effort, that's going to show. Yeah. That's going to show. Yeah. And because my son was on a team, I had nothing to do with who we named to the team as varsity players. I wanted to make sure I refrained from it because my son was on the team. And he made the team. And
awesome.
It was because of the work ethic that he put in and the constant, like he, one of the rules that I had for my boys at the end of every practice, you go up to your coaches and you thank them because they're volunteers pretty much until you get to high school, then you get paid a little bit,
yeah.
but you volunteers pretty much, you're going to thank them. And then you're going to ask them what you can do to get a little bit better to help, you know, before next practice, what can I work on? My boys did that every single practice.
Yeah.
So those kind of things is what stood out to the other coaches with my son. And he was a varsity player. And I told him, I said, you did that. That wasn't because of me. You did that. I had nothing to do with, I literally wasn't even in the room when they were meeting to talk about players. You did that. And so it's just one of those things where, you know what? It's hard. It's hard as a dad. Cause I wanted my boy to make it. I wanted him to be, he really wanted it. I wanted him to be there really bad. But I had no control over it. I said, it's up to you. You have to decide if you want to make it or not.
No, you took that spark and ignited it so that they could become as bright as possible. That's right. That's awesome.
So you have to do that for Johnny, really.
I'm hoping I can and be that inspirational to him. But I actually wanted to ask you another question.
Good.
What about your kids and musical instruments?
Yeah.
Did they play musical instruments? Was that something that they were interested in?
My older son, for whatever reason, wanted to play the ukulele and spent all his like $160 allowance money on buying a ukulele so he could learn it. And he was working on it and trying. I've played a little bit of guitar, played a little bit of drums, but I don't have any of that kind of experience. But he was trying to practicing. I think it lasted about 2 months and that was it.
Okay.
My boys never like, they listen to music. They listen to all kinds of music. They of like course. Music. They like concerts, all those kinds of things. But picking up an instrument, my boys are all sports. I mean, all sports.
Yeah. Cause sometimes, you know, Johnny, he'll show interest in, you know, like a guitar that's sitting in my office or drums. And I know that when I was younger, like I always kind of wanted, I think every kid wants to play a musical instrument. Yeah. It's about whether you can stick with it or not.
Right.
And now we've gotten to that point where it's like, all right, what do we do? Like, do we buy him a drum set? Maybe just a lesson.
Right. With somebody that, you know, if it's a guitar lesson or a drum lesson, even just one lesson, just say, hey, I want you to teach my kid, you know, just for this one lesson or whatever and see if he likes it. And then if he does, I'll pay for, you know, a set of lessons or something.
Yeah.
And see how it goes. I mean, he's still young. Okay. So,
but
if he's showing interest, Why not?
It's just it ain't cheap.
No, I know.
Those,
I know.
Yeah, everything that they want to do. I mean, it's, you know, because yeah, Johnny was in. He was in martial arts. He was in soccer.
That ain't cheap
he,
either.
You know, baseball. Martial. None of this stuff is cheap. And then, you know, we eventually see him going from enjoying it to, I don't want to go today. I don't want to do this. Yeah. And it's like, no, you're going. We're spending $75 a month for right. this. You know, you're going to it. And then we feel like we're forcing him to go, and we don't want to force him to go. We want him to go because he's enjoying it.
Right.
And I feel like that instruments is like the next step in being a father. It's like, all right, well, I'll dump $1,000 into drums, and they're going to sit around in the house, well, and you're not going to play them. And then
you can rent, look into renting.
I didn't know that. I yeah, had no idea.
But I mean, I think here's the thing. When he gets to an age, and this is for any parents and not just Johnny, but when he gets to an age where he's like, you know, not really throwing the fifth, but saying, I just don't want to go today. That's when you just lay down the rule and you say, listen, you wanted this. You wanted to play this sport. So while you're playing this sport, you have to show up, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's just like going to school. You may not like going to school, but you have to go to school. When the school day is done, you get to come home. When practice is done, you get to come home. When the season is done, you don't have to play anymore if you don't want
yep.
to.
Yeah.
But right now, you committed to it. That teaches them maturity, teaches them responsibility, right? Teaches them work ethic. I mean, those kind of things they have to learn. And he's getting to that age where he has to start learning those things.
Yeah. It's so crazy. I mean, I mean, we felt guilty at first forcing him to, you know, go because we knew he didn't want to go. And we're like, are we doing the right thing by me? I mean, is this going to traumatize him later in life? But then he goes and he does it. And then, you know, afterwards he's like, oh, I had fun. And it's like, yes, every single time you're going to go and have fun. So just don't put up a fight about it. Let's just go. And you get your shoes on when we tell you to get your shoes on. We're going to go out the house. You're going to have fun. And then we're going to get back in the car and we're all going to laugh afterwards.
Yeah.
But
and then he's going to say, yeah, you're right, Dad. You're right. Until the next day.
Yeah. Until the very next day. And then it's all over again.
Well, listen, Johnny, I want to let you go. I feel like we can continue talking for another couple hours.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate you being on. Where's the best place for other than the Heidi and Frank show? Where's the best place people can look you up, learn a little bit more about you? All that kind of stuff.
Oh, I'm all about the Instagram. Just the Instagram at Johnny Icebox. That's it. Yeah. I don't spread it around. If I'm in one spot, if you have it, you know, give me a follow and, you know, send me a message. Hopefully I can, you know, respond back to you. And actually I pretty much try and respond back to everybody that I possibly can. But yeah, that's it. I just Instagram and the Heidi and Frank show on 95.5 KLOS.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for being on, brother. I appreciate you. And I'm not kidding, man. We need to get together and golf. And
we'll
drag Frank's ass out of the house.
We definitely will. We'll have a good time.
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, it's been another episode of Dad Up. I want to thank my good friend, Johnny Ice, for being on. Listen, if you aren't familiar with the Heidi and Frank show, 95.5 KLOS, just Google it. You can listen to it right there. Stream it. You can hear it. You'll hear Johnny on there cracking jokes and teasing Heidi and Frank, and they're teasing him back. So make sure you guys do that. And then check him out on Instagram too. He's very active on there and he does respond to messages. So make sure you guys check him out on there as well. And listen, if you're not subscribed yet to my show, please make sure you do that so you don't miss any of the awesome guests that I have on each and every week. And as always, I look forward to seeing you all in the next episode of Dad Up.
Wow, another amazing episode in the books. So much was shared, and I'm truly grateful my guest was able to pour into you to help you elevate your dad game and really dad up. Make sure you bang that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're here, please don't forget to leave me a rating and a review. I always appreciate the feedback. Also, did you know you can watch the video interview of this episode? You can by simply going to my YouTube channel at Dad Up Podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe to my channel. And one last thing, don't forget, your role as a dad is one of the most important roles you have. So if you need a little help or have questions, don't hesitate to reach out to me on my website at daduptribe.com or at my Instagram page at Dad Up Podcast. Until next time, everyone, Dad Up.